Okay, now we're going back to Helmut Stryker. I'm using these dates from an article. It's a magazine called Gung Ho, May 1982, written by a man who worked for the Central Intelligence Agency from the day, almost the day, that the war was over, worked for Adolf Hitler until the war was over, came to the United States. Now we've got him in the United States. He was over in the Middle East. He was in Germany with Galen. He was in Prague when Otto John was kidnapped, one of my favorite cases. He was in Europe to help wipe out Mr. Geyer, who recognized him and other agents. So he had to leave Germany and Reinhard Galen, and even though he worked with him from 51 to 57, because he was recognized on the microfilm. So he comes to the United States in 58 and 59 and 60, and he's assigned to the Bay of Pigs operation, where he has the name of Captain William Rhine, head of the U.S. intelligence. He speaks excellent English. He's been to the United States and has mastered his English. And they removed him from the CIA in 1961, according to this article, because after the Bay of Pigs operation, the Congress may call in the people who were involved. So they couldn't have a Mr. Helmut Stryker or a Captain William Rhine or Rolf Mayer from Nazi Germany fighting along helping Franco and all the other nine aliases and so forth. God forbid Congress might call him in, but I don't think that's smart. They're that smart. So they removed him from the files with all his Nazi background, as they have removed hundreds involved in these murders that have really set up the assassinations in this country. So then they sent him off to Africa. They were very lucky. So 1962-63 is assigned in 1964 to Algeria using the name Karl Rolf, which was a name he had used. He was working for Hitler in Africa in 1936. So he goes in under the cloak of a tradesman that he's selling scrap metal, okay? And he's working, sabotaging trains and blowing up various installations over in Algeria. That's his assignment. Then he goes down to the Congo, and he's there, and he's assigned to the Congo, and he remarks that he thinks Lumumba was killed by the CIA, and I have the documents from the hearings on the investigation of the murder of Lumumba and the CIA, and he's down there conveniently when Lumumba is killed. He is in Germany when Otto John was kidnapped and discredited. He's over there killing agents who recognized him. He's involved with the Bay of Pigs operation, the people who killed John Kennedy. And there's even quotations in this article about the murder of John Kennedy. He's very flippant about it. And the fellow who wrote this, William Seymour, who was with him in the Bay of Pigs, may have a tongue-in-cheek attitude about the murder of Kennedy, because they're very open about discussing it in the article. What he says in this article to Seymour is one of the worst-kept secrets in the company, that's the CIA, is the truth about the president's murder. It wasn't Castro, Russians, or Castro, Cubans. The men who killed Mr. Kennedy were ex-CIA contract agents working on their own, with Alan Dulles, who brought them to this country, okay? But that's what he's saying. They're working on their own, as if somebody couldn't pick this up. And he said they were anti-Castro Cuban exiles, and the whole thing was set up by mob money and some very big money interests. You'd have to go back to his father's background, old Joel Kennedy, to get into that. John Kennedy's murder, according to Mr. Stryker, was a two-part conspiracy. One was the action end of it with the killers, but the deeper part is the acceptance and protection of the murderers and the murderous operation by the intelligence apparatus that controls the way the world operates. It's hard to understand this, and it had to happen, he said. The man was too independent for his own good. And this is a man who was involved with those people who killed John Kennedy, who was in the Congo and Lumumba was killed, who tried to kill Castro, who was in on the Otto John discrediting, who's been all over the world with the assassination teams, who was in Spain with Franco, in Germany with Adolf Hitler, in South Africa with Hitler's agents, in the Middle East with Galen. He was with Otto Skorzeny and Henry Kissinger and that famous Fritz Kramer double agent in the Battle of the Bulge. Well, let me repeat what he said. One of the worst-kept secrets in the company is the truth about the president's murder. It wasn't Castro Cubans or Castro or the Russians or the Castro Cubans. The men who killed Mr. Kennedy were ex-CIA. They became ex-CIA the day they did it. You know, like he leaves the Bay of Pigs operation. He's an ex-CIA the minute it fails, the operation fails. Okay, and he talks about mob. It was financed by mob money. I don't believe that for a minute. George de Morenschild, who was getting Oswald housing and jobs and a place in the printing plant in Texas that had security clearances and so forth, there was Nazi money behind this. It wasn't all mob money. The mob may have helped with a double hit, but it wasn't mob money. It was the Nazis that were part of the Galen operation that were Lee and Marina Oswald's friends in the Texas area. John Kennedy's murder was a two-part conspiracy. One was the action end with the killers. That's true. And the deeper part is the acceptance and protection of the murderous operation. Now, he says, by the intelligence apparatus that controls the way the world operates. And that is true. The FBI, the CIA, the Defense Department, the Navy Intelligence, all those branches of our government, there were 22, referred to 22 branches that grabbed the war criminals that came over here. That was on 60 Minutes tonight. Every branch of government grabbed them. But the problem is the acceptance of the murderous operation by us. We allow this thing to go on by not exposing every rock and turn every corner. Now, this article by William Seymour, he only brings up the point about his boss having these dual names, one in Newsweek and one in Bay of Pigs, and finally meeting with him and confirming what is going on. But the article doesn't say if William Seymour was the Oswald double. But in the same magazine, Gung Ho, there's a long article on Gulf Oil, on Gaddafi, on the CIA, on assassinations, on Richard Helms, and how, knowing where the bodies are buried. And there's a picture of Emilia Santana in the same issue. So Emilia Santana and William Seymour were two members of the Bay of Pigs operation who were involved in the Kennedy assassination. And in this one magazine, there is a whole lot of material on these people. Now, this fellow was assigned the Bay of Pigs. He was removed. He went over the Congo, went to Algeria, and was in Africa, Middle East, again as a disguise as a writer in 1968. So he was in Spain disguised as a writer. He was in the United States as a journalist. In 1968, he was in Africa and the Middle East as a writer. In 1968 or 69, he was still a writer and a journalist for Allied Intelligence. He said, no one really retires. We're like the mafia. 1971 to 73, he's working in the headquarters of Langley, Virginia. Now, that is the height of the operation when William Colby comes home from Southeast Asia, when Watergate is coming down, the exposés, when the CIA Nugenhan Bank is filled to the coffer with money for assassination teams that are going to continue throughout the world. And in 1974, he's over in Africa and the Middle East. The time from 1974 to 1977, when George Bush is director of the CIA, that is this Nazi assassin director, George Bush, of our CIA. That's why I say that we should never have a CIA director as vice president, because we're surely going to get him as president. And this was the time when the Nazis and Scorzetti and Gaddafi were arming Idi Amin, when Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson and Theodore Shackley were arming Gaddafi, the PLO, and setting up Carlos the Jackal, the killing of Jews all over Europe, the killing of the Jews at the Munich game, the Olympic Games. This fellow was very active through these years over in the Middle East, and he said in quotes, he retired in 1978 from the CIA to go to Africa for a special job. Maybe it was with Mubarak. Maybe it was to set him up. Remember Edwin Wilson and the Swiss offices setting up Mubarak and getting ready for the murder of Sadat? Or maybe he was over there getting Begin to give away Israel to back their area in the desert and their oil rights and so forth. We don't know what he did. He says a special job, but you can imagine. In 1979 and 1980, he worked for the United States government on a contract of special assignments. He wouldn't say what. And, of course, that was that treacherous time when Nelson Rockefeller died, when Frank Nugent died, when many, many deaths and stories were coming down. The Jonestown episode. He was working for the CIA, but he officially retired June the 15th, 1980. So he was a journalist in all these countries. He had many, many aliases. He worked for Franco. He worked for Adolf Hitler. He went from the battlefields in Germany directly to the United States government and intimates and hints his role with those people who killed John Kennedy. And this is a typical example of the kind of persons that I've been trying to smoke out who were responsible for the murder of Kennedy. And men like Alan Dulles and Herbert Hoover, John Foster Dulles, are really the traitors to this country. The Chase Manhattan, bringing these people in, and the Dulles brothers, and of course, the period from World War One to II, J. Edgar Hoover working with Interpol and the top Nazis, bringing them into this country. Why does it affect us? For the reasons I said before, for our health, for the air, for the sabotage, for our banks collapsing, for the slave labor we're going to go into, the way they're going to break labor unions. This is a depressed country, and it's going to get worse until people go back to those years. And that's why I think these tapes will be very valuable someday to play back and understand how this came back. Now that you can undo what's done, like Don Yaman says in his play, you can't do what's done, just you go for your shelter. But try to understand it. Try to understand what happened and who's behind it, because the truth will out. As this gentleman said on 60 Minutes tonight, the investigator, the truth has to come out, whether it comes 5 years from now or 10 or 50. I've tried for the past 11 years to tell you who these people were and who was doing the hurting and give you warning in advance of people like Ronald Reagan would become president. So it's no surprise to me the things that he's doing and saying and his behavior, because it's consistent with what he was as the governor. I've referred to the Torba document many times. It's a book that came out in 1970 about the assassinations of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. And this book was put out in Texas by a lawyer who's now, he's passed away. And there's references in this book to this William Seymour. There's references about his being Oswald's double and going with the anti-Castro Cubans, but leading a false trail behind to make it look as if Lee Harvey Oswald were a communist or a pro-Castro supporter. And Seymour was weaving, according to the Torba document, a web of culpatory evidence, tying Oswald to the assassination at least 5 months before it occurred. And this Torba document says that he began June the 5th when President Kennedy met with Vice President and the governor of Texas as Lyndon Johnson and John Connally, and agreed that he would come to Texas in November of 1963. So that after June 5th, the trip was planned and they knew what to do. And William Seymour was involved in New Orleans, in Mexico, and Seymour said that he'd even been to Governor John Connally's office. And he went around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and with Mrs. Sylvia Odio, he was with her just before the assassination, with the violent anti-Castroites, but he was at the rifle range, the car agency, and so forth, using Lee Harvey Oswald's name to set up the patsy. Now, that was the Sylvia William Seymour that's been written up many times in many books on the Kennedy assassination. But as I say, it isn't clear if William Seymour is the same one who worked with Helmut Stryker in the Bay of Pigs. But I imagine it is, because in the same magazine articles, I say there are pictures and credits for Emilio Santana, and he worked closely with Seymour. Now, this article said that Helmut Stryker was one of the top Axis agents for Hitler during World War II, that he ends up with Otto Skorzeny in 1945, and also in the Battle of the Bulge, that they're working later together. Well, I got out my books, as many as I could yesterday, going through my the books on Nazi Germany. And the interesting thing is that Ladislaus Farago refers to Fritz Kramer, the one I mentioned many times. Fritz Kramer is Hitler's top double agent, his most important double agent. That's Fritz Kramer, and he nowhere appears in books after the war. In any of the books that I have, and I'm going through many, many books, I can't find where Hitler's agent went after he leaves the docket at Dachau number 33. And I believe and I'm trying to explore the idea that he was the same double agent that recruited Henry Kissinger to that Battle of the Bulge where all these people were at the same time, Mr. Helmut Stryker and Otto Skorzeny, Prince Bernhard, and so forth. There's a group of people, and I'm going to type up their names in a few weeks and get this to you so you can get them clear and look at the sheets, and you can send for the sheets and see the delineation. Helmut Stryker doesn't show up in these books that I have after the war, but there was this famous Julius Stryker, whose picture is at the Nuremberg trial. Many of them were released, and I don't know if it's the same person. If he were lying about his age by 5 years, it could be the same person, the other Stryker. If he's telling the truth, it's a different person, but there's only a 5-year span. But other than that, every picture that I have of these particular people and the stories of Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany, the other Stryker's life is almost paralleled. I have a book, A Pictorial History of the SS, that I mentioned last week, and Hitler's Julius Stryker worked with a blood group, and there's a reference to him as bonded to the strong fatherland that they had. These tremendous bonds is a picture of the Nazi reunions, and that he was part of this group. Well, this particular Helmut Stryker was at that castle and location where they were trained to take over after World War II was over to continue the Fourth Reich. Another book, Kurt Rees, The Nazis Go Underground. There's a mention of Stryker, a reference here that when in 1943, when they realized they weren't going to win the war against the Soviet Union, all the men working together had one idea in mind, and this is according to this book, The Nazi Goes Underground, that Martin Bormann met, and Mr. Himmler, and Mr. Heisemeyer, and Fritz Kaltenbrunner, and they had one idea in mind, the Nazi Party must go on no matter what happened. They expressed their idea as early as January 29, 1943, in the Brown House in Munich. If we win the war, it is the party that wins. If we lose the war, it's only the army that loses, and we will go on. And this refers to Mr. Heydrich and Mr. Stryker as wanting to continue the Hitler legend. Now, did Stryker die, or is he want that same Helmut Stryker that met with these people that wanted the war to go, the Nazis that went underground? I have another book, Galen, Spy of the Century, and it describes the Stryker that worked for Adolf Hitler on page 119. And it tells about working in the Eastern Division, how Hitler couldn't take Stalingrad in 1943, and how Julius Stryker, who worked for Hitler, the Jew baiter, the editor of a newspaper, working with Mr. Kaltenbrunner, were making plans for after the war. Now, they refer to his newspaper and as a news editor, and this fellow used the newspaper, the writing, the publishing for all of his trips wherever he was. So is this the same Stryker who worked as the editor and publisher? Is this another one of Himmler's and Hitler's tricks? I've mentioned way, way back that there were discrepancies on the death of Himmler, and there were articles and suggestions that Himmler also got to the United States as a journalist. If he got out, if Martin Bormann got out using the name of Martin Bormann, and Joseph Mengele's Bormann used an alias for a short while, but Joseph Mengele's used his name and didn't change it. And if Mr. Stryker has changed his name 8 or 9 times and has different identities, but is in the same locations geographically as the other one, is it the same man who worked for Hitler in his plans for extermination and for taking over the world after 1943? Is he the same man who comes to the United States, who works for the CIA, fighting Fidel Castro in Cuba, who's involved with the Kennedy murder, who's over in the Congo, and continues his mischief? He doesn't describe too much where he is all those years, but with these assassination teams, you can imagine where the possibilities of where he's been. In the Galen Spy of the Century, there's other references to Stryker. In January of 43, they were working with General Stryker and in these extermination plans, and the Russians had taken people who were half-starved and frostbitten, and large of them were wounded, and a great many people in the Russian division that were fighting in Russia fled to Germany. They were over in the Eastern Division. They fled to Germany. Now, according to the biography of the Streicher at Nuremberg, he was a journalist, but he had no particular role in the Nazi government. So that would give him the mobility to be everywhere that this fellow was while the war was going on, in Africa, in Eastern Europe with Reinhard Gehlen, who he was working with after the war, in Madrid when the people were betraying our soldiers, in the Battle of the Bulge and Arnhem. They were down, some of the top agents in Madrid. He was in Paris and Belgium. He's been in and out of every country while the war was going on without a particular job for Adolf Hitler. So the Hitler Streicher that is in Nuremberg, that's supposed to be the war criminal who's convicted, this fellow is in the same places and has the same skills and the same trade. And it certainly would be shocking to know or to find out even the remotest chance that Hitler Streicher became our CIA man and Hitler's Kramer became our CIA man. But if Hitler's chief of intelligence came to this country, why wouldn't that be possible? If we brought over all of his intelligence bosses and these people worked for him, it would be the easiest thing to bring his employees. In the book, The Service, written by Reinhard Gehlen, the memoirs of Reinhard Gehlen, the prologue of the book begins from Hitler's bunker to the Pentagon. And this is the way the book starts. As a brigadier general in the German army and chief of one of its most important intelligence branches, it never occurred to me in August of 1945 I would find myself seated with a number of my former staff members in an American Air Transport Command. I would never find myself seated with my staff members in an American plane, a DC-3, flying to Washington, D.C. We must have seemed an unlikely bunch of civilians to be crossing the Atlantic. Remember, the war was over in May 1945, and the Nuremberg trials didn't even begin to 46, and these guys were already working for the United States government before the war was even winding down. We may have seemed an unlikely bunch of civilians to be crossing the Atlantic at the time, he said. We had been given only 3 days to get the necessary civilian clothes to exchange for our Wehrmacht uniforms. 3 days, no passports or anything. Just bring them over here, Hitler's people, and don't ask them if they're loyal to the United States or Britain. They've sworn under oath and secrecy they will protect for 1,000 years what Adolf Hitler did and the ways he did it. And they worked from the end of World War I, doing well what Hitler wanted and for those people. So they traded their Wehrmacht uniforms and got their suitcases and came to the United States, and they were fitted out in plain clothes. Now, that's the way the book begins. I don't have to read much more of it for those of you who want to get the book. It's called The Service. I often refer to the book Reinhard Gehlen, Spy of the Century, but this is written by him. Prologue, from Hitler's bunk to the Pentagon. Now, this has been one of my favorite subjects since I got my Warren Commission hearings in 1964, and I read that Lee Harvey Oswald's closest friends were Nazi, suspected of being Nazi war criminals, admiral in the Navy, chief of security for Convair, important people at Bell Helicopter, like Walter Dornberger, the Nazi war criminal. Dornberger came over to Bell Helicopter over in Dallas-Fort Worth and kept the name Dornberger. Joseph Mengele's lived in Germany and kept the name Mengele's. As I say, they didn't change their names. A few might have. Maybe Himmler, if he came here, he changed his name, but they didn't all change their name. And if Fritz Kramer was Hitler's top double agent, double agent means to infiltrate and take over and sneak on the other side. And if he doesn't ever appear anywhere after that chair at the Dachau trial and they were all released, and if Helmut Streicher is one of the top 10 of the Axis agents, where are they after the war? Where does Helmut Streicher go? Now, I'll give you some homework, you world watchers. I used to say being a world watcher only meant that you listened to the program. Now I'm going to up the ante and be a world watcher. You've got to photocopy the indexes of some books and help me find out who these people are. How do they affect us? There's an article I cut out just this last week or 2 weeks ago from the New York Times. Japanese general won the U.S. Air Force Medal. This is Minoru Genda, a Japanese general who helped plan the attack on Pearl Harbor, was awarded the U.S. Air Force Legion of Merit in 1959. He was working for Lockheed for the Japanese Air Self-Defense Force. He test flies Lockheeds in California, and he got a commendation for his work. He planned the attack on Pearl Harbor, works and test planes for Lockheed. Another fellow who passed away last week, an obituary for the New York Times, Alfred Oppler, and this is what it says. Alfred Oppler was a high-ranking judge in pre-Hitler Germany, a key aide then to General of the Army Douglas MacArthur during the occupation of Japan after World War II. He was part of the Prussian Supreme Administration. He was in the Weimar Republic when the hardest part of getting in power, described in books, Seymour Melman, was making the guilty stay in jail and letting the guilty out, rather, the committed crimes and murders, letting them out and keeping the innocent locked in jail. This was a jurist in Germany for the Weimar Republic and for that period who came out and then in 1946 joined Douglas General MacArthur's staff in Tokyo as a jurist setting up the courts and law divisions right from Hitler's Germany to Japan, working with the Americans and the American Army. Another book just came out, Korea, The Untold Story of the War, I might have mentioned. The behind the scenes of General MacArthur and Joint Chief of Staff. And I mentioned before that this Sir Charles Willoughby had a background. He wasn't Sir Charles at all. He was a German, another German that worked with Franco, who became head of the American intelligence in Southeast Asia. Now, the question boils down, how many of these people are there and what did they do to us in the East and West that has really altered the content or the quality of life in America? The Rolling Stone has an article by William Shawcross this last week. It's the May 13th issue, Memoirs Part 2. In reality, Henry Kissinger is the core of the disaster that embraced Indochina and the United States government. Yes, if Henry Kissinger was handpicked by Fritz Kramer and the Nazis to go back to Germany and work with those Nazis who were wearing American uniforms, who were causing Americans to be killed, who set up our Korean policy, our Southeast Asian policy, our Middle East policy, Central America, South America, no wonder we are hated by everybody. No wonder we've put in military dictatorships. No wonder we allow slave labor, genocide, missing people, experimentations over the world on our own. There is a reason why this is happening. The reason goes back to the importation of a disease known as fascism, not capitalism, but fascism. And the disease has names, it has cells, it has identities. The listening to 60 Minutes tonight only confirmed how the FBI, how J. Edgar Hoover from Interpol, the State Department, the Defense Department embraced these people, protected these people, tried to scramble in the archives the identity of these people. The Congress has slept on it. Now we have to go back and find out what happened to this country, how we got this way. Who protected these people? I don't believe that Eisenhower and Truman didn't know they were brought in here by the hundreds, many, many hundreds. And we haven't even began to add how many changed their names, like Sir Charles Willoughby or this Helmut Stryker who works in the Bay of Pigs. How many of them were there? Literally thousands. I bet there were at least 1,000 that were behind Hitler that came in and took over every branch of our government in the State Department, the Historical Division, the Pentagon, the Army, the FBI, and so forth. That's why we can't find who's doing these murders, because they have taken control of these positions, and anyone who gets to this level is just ignored or silenced. But when things got bad enough in this country, and when you see the resemblance between Germany in 1933 and 38 and the inflation and the problems with health and housing, go back to what I told you these past years, because this is the cause and this is the disease. And the sooner we expose them, the better. You may write to 60 Minutes and thank them and tell them we want more. In the meantime, we'll stop. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California, and I'll be back with you next week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Bressel. This program originates from Carmel, California.